Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone, alongside CEO of The Wine Growers, Carissa Cruz, here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And Carissa, have you figured out your seat?
I didn't adjust my seat.
Are you comfortable?
I don't know why I'm struggling so much with this today. I know. I'm like, my headsets aren't working very well. My seat's not working.
Oh, man.
I know.
too much going on?
The good news is, and I haven't even had the Mike and Ike Sour Megamix yet, so who knows? The day is young.
The day is young.
Yes. Well, we have a fun episode for you today. I should say it's a post-show. Pre-show, post-show? Because we pre-recorded it. So, the post-show.
Post-intro to a pre-show. Yeah.
Yeah, something
anyway.
Like that.
Anyway,
yes, a little flashback to a few weekends ago when we had the fifth annual, Healdsburg Wine and Food Experience. We had Ray Isle, executive wine editor for Food & Wine Magazine, in town helping us run our SOM immersion program. And got to do a little recording with him. It was on the road. It was on the road, but not quite on the road. It was like on the road from our office.
On the road for him and very much at home for you.
Home for us. Yeah. But yeah, we couldn't get in the studio.
What'd you talk about?
So we just, you know, basketball. No, I'm just kidding.
I doubt that somehow.
No, we did not. It was great. So everyone's going to get to hear, but we were diving into a little bit about Ray's background and how he got into journalism and then specifically wine and then wine journalism. And then we talked a little bit about the Healdsburg event and the SOM program and all the activations and events he does with us.
Confirm. I do remember that from editing the episode.
So there you go.
I should have asked
Jeff. Yeah, I know. Okay. We could have just had Jeff record this whole intro by himself after listening to it. No.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. For the future.
4 minutes with Jeff. That'll be our new intro segment. And then we're going to have to ask Jeff what he would drink, the good stuff, on Tuesday night. And we're going to now have to force him to think about wine.
He could throw some other surprises at us, I have a feeling. So
there you go.
Awesome.
So Ray was in town and we did, in partnership with the Wine Institute, we tried something new this year. And they brought in 9 sommeliers from Canada and Mexico. And we had 9 psalms from around the U.S., and so it was great. We had 18 psalms in town and kind of did a lot of Sonoma County education, immersion, really fun. If you recall back a couple episodes ago, we had Dusky Estes on talking about our little cook-off we were going to do at her farm, her and John Stewart's farm. So fun, having the pizza oven, outdoor kitchen, indoor kitchen, and the food truck, and divide the psalms up into teams and have them run around, and they have to forage and take care of the farm and cook from the pantry. Anyway, we had a blast.
I bet they did great.
Surprisingly, it's crazy with 1 hour, the crazy good food and how creative they can be and how pretty they plate it and how well it goes with the wine.
I think the Food Network has taught us all how to compete.
I guess so. I mean, super fun.
All right. Well, I look forward to the conversation. We'll be right back on today's Good Stuff.
On the road for this show, and on the road still here in Sonoma County, but we are recording from the Healdsburg Wine and Food Experience with our guest, Ray Isle from Food & Wine Magazine, executive wine editor, involved in wine spirits, travel and leisure, author of The World in a Wine Glass, friend, fun.
All the good stuff for the good stuff show. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Aptly named.
Well, yeah. Welcome, Ray. Nice to have
Thanks.
You back.
Always good to be back. Nice to see you.
You might be one of our most returned guests.
I've been on a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I like to think I haven't repeated myself each time.
No.
But,
never. You keep it continuously interesting.
Oh, good.
So there you go. why don't we start? And maybe I'll just preface a little bit. So this weekend, while we're recording, is the Healdsburg Wine and Food Experience, which Sonoma County Wine Growers was a co-founder of. We're in our fifth year, and frankly, Ray, you've been a part of it. You were actually part of the idea of it.
I was part of the idea of it. Yes, I was involved in the ideation word that I completely cannot stand.
Right? I know. Yeah. Well, you and the growers, you have a lot in common with them. They hate that ideation, okay, brainstorming.
That's, I always knew I liked farmers. Farmers do not go in for ideation.
No. Yeah. No, in fact, I often lose my husband into a vineyard when ideations happen. Yeah. So out the door they go.
Yeah, but I was involved in coming in sort of at least some brainstorming on the idea and that kind of thing. And I've come every year except for last year when my daughter was graduating from college, and I wasn't going to skip that. So
In Rome.
Yes. Yes. You went to school.
So you chose your daughter's graduation in Rome over hanging out with us.
I did.
It was painful for us, but we understand.
It was not painful for me.
I know. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit. We'll talk more about the Healdsburg event, but more start with your beginning. How did you get into maybe writing and then into wine writing?
Well, I got into writing. I mean, short term, I got into writing because I loved reading. But I loved reading partly because I grew up my father was a professor of English literature or contemporary American literature, as it ended up being. So there were books in the house. Forever. Always. So I was an English major.
What did you enjoy reading growing up? Was there specific?
I read a lot of science fiction. Actually,
really?
As a kid. Yeah. You know, as a 10 or 12 year old and then, you know, moved on from there. But I was an English major in college. I was a grad student in creative writing first up in Boston. And then I kind of got vaguely interested in wine around that time, post, you know, grad school years. And then I was in DC working in a rare bookstore, and I got a little more interested in wine. And then what happened?
So you actually managed to get a job in the degree you studied. Because everyone always says, what are you going to do with a writing degree or
I
literature
write.
Degree?
It is the craziest damn thing.
And you got into rare books, and then
got into rare books, which is actually like more of like being in the antiques world, because it's kind of an odd, the content doesn't matter so much as the object, which is a strange thing. But I ended up with another graduate writing fellowship, a thing called a Stegner Fellowship at Stanford, which put me in the Bay Area, and already being a little bit interested in wine, I started going to wineries, you know, literally driving up to, you know, Napa or Sonoma to taste wine at wineries, and then got more and more interested in wine and learned from the guy who used to sell me wine at K&L that you could help out at bottlings for small wineries, and they would, you know, pay you in wine, which if you're a grad student,
that's
being paid in
awesome.
$60 Pinot is pretty good, because, you know, my budget for the week was like two burritos. So that was cool. And then I got so interested in that I switched my teaching schedule around where I could work harvest for two harvests up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and was a sort of volunteer cellar rat. You know, labor. I pump, you know, a lot of hand punching down of, you know, Pinot and macro bins and whatnot. And it was, whether it was glamorous or not, it convinced me that I was sick to death of academia, and I really loved the wine business. And I loved both wine and the people in the business, and decided that I would do something in wine rather than teach at a university. And probably would have stayed here, except that I met she wasn't my wife at the time, but I met the woman who became my wife, who was in New York and who saw little reason to move to California to be with, unemployed potential wine guy. This is a hard sell in a relationship. So I moved to New York, and I sold wine for an importer for a couple of years. And then gradually the wine and the writing came together. Yeah. First, really at Wine and Spirits, you know, RIP, it was a great magazine for a long time. Josh Green there hired me, gave me an editorial job, and I never looked back. I switched to food and wine about, I was at Wine and Spirits 5 years, and I've been at Food and Wine somewhat mind-blowingly for 20 years now. I was like, how did that happen?
Right.
You know,
it
was just, especially in media years, that's like a million years. That's like, you know.
So what was the first wine story you ever wrote?
First wine story I ever wrote was for the Stanford Alumni Magazine, and it was about Stanford alums in the wine business.
Oh, interesting.
And it was a mix of people, mostly Napa. I'm sure there are Stanford alums in the wine business of Sonoma County.
I'm sure
but,
there are.
You know, my that story particularly happened, you know, it's Robin Lael, was one of the people I profiled, a couple of others. And, And it was a nice thing. What I found was that people were willing to give me a lot of their time to talk, which was really
interesting.
You know, Mary Novak at Spotswood was a wonderful woman. And it's just a grad student who came up to do a story for an alumni magazine. And we sat at Spotswood for an hour and a half and talked about her life and everything, which was really, really cool.
I think I would read my alumni magazines more often.
Yeah,
they
I know.
Have more
it's
wine
like,
stories
you know,
in them. I'm like, that's a pretty great
connection.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know, where undergrad where?
Patton Wharton.
Yeah. Well, yeah. there's definitely alums in the business.
Like myself.
Jasmine Hirsch.
Jasmine Hirsch.
You know, she's a Penn alum. Yeah.
Yeah, Penn alum.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
So, but then what was the first, I would say, do you remember the first wine article you wrote for Wine and Spirits?
That's an interesting question. I know that one of the first that I wrote, I don't know if it's the exact first that I wrote, but I wrote a very long, almost like issue takeover about Crush, partly about my experiences working at, it was a winery called Clos Le Chance, which at the time was up in the Santa Cruz Mountains. They later moved down to Gilroy, and I wrote a lengthy piece about what it was like to work Crush and what the harvest was like and all that. And that, whether it was the first bit of writing I did for Wine and Spirits, it was definitely the first substantial piece I did for Wine and Spirits. And I do remember, I'm actually quite fond of it. It wasn't a bad story. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then the first story for Food and Wine, I know I definitely
remember.
That's
going to be my next question.
Because I wrote it when I was still at Wine and Spirits. Josh was nice enough to let me freelance. I don't think he realized that meant I would leave the magazine. But I wrote a story about, they assigned me, someone out of the blue, a story about wine on Mallorca. And I was going to be in Spain anyway, because I was the Spanish wine critic for the Iberia wine critic for Wine and Spirits. And so I took a little side trip to Mallorca and wrote about wineries there. And that was the first Food and Wine piece.
Wow.
And there's been a lot of pieces ever since.
I was gonna say, so how do you think your writing has like evolved, or what you've been interested in writing, and how much freedom to decide what you write about do you get? Maybe there's a lot of different questions there.
There are a lot of different questions there. I mean, my writing has evolved in some ways. I like to think it's gotten better. I have no idea. I've always been more interested in the people and the place and why they do why they work the way they do and who they are and how that translates into the wine than in whether things taste like blueberries and blackberries and spice and got 97 points or 38 points or whatever it is. I don't, you know, there's the way a lot of us look at it is you could be a wine critic or a wine writer. And I did do the critic thing for a while at Wine and Spirits. I don't enjoy it. I don't think it's interesting from a writing point of view. It's repetitive and not fun. I'd rather write about people in the context of wine. And that probably comes out of having started in fiction and so on. And so a lot of those things, strategies that you learn in terms of telling a story in a short story or, you know, fictional way can translate to, you know, if you go back to new journalism, Tom Wolfe and people like that, then you see this kind of fictional tools of setting a scene and getting characters and seeking their own voice translating into journalism. And that's the realm that I like to work in wine. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like just picking a random piece from Food and Wine, you know, within the past year or two, I did a story that was tracing the San Andreas Fault down through this spine of California, spine of California, by way of wineries and by way of people, and, you know, stopping at Pei and stopping at Hirsch. And that to me is much more interesting and a way to get into some of the geekiness that's surrounding wine, like in terms of geology, but really telling it through the people and the wineries. So I've always focused on that. I like to think I've gotten better at it. I certainly write. I mean, I look back at tasting notes that I wrote for Wine and Spirits, and I look at what I do now, and I'm like, God, what was I thinking? That's just like way too many adjectives. Like, chill out. Stop with the adjectives.
Do you have any favorites?
Too many.
Any favorite adjectives?
Well, I don't know if I have any favorite adjectives.
Are there any rayisms?
There were probably arrayisms, but it's much easier for someone else to
pick them out
or isms than yourself.
That's true.
You know, and it's always disheartening or weird when they do notice in them, and you're like, oh God, I've got like a thing I do all the time. You know, it floats, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's a weird wine writing in terms of describing wines is weird.
Very
in that
strange. I agree.
When I started at Wine and Spirits, which was 2000, the word minerality was not used. That wasn't in the conversation about wine. And certainly minerality, whatever it is, did exist. But the language of wine didn't really bother with minerality at that point. And so salinity, like people talk about wines being saline now, saline, having salinity. No one said that. Zero. No, you mean, go back and look at wine writing from that era. It does not exist as an adjective. So yet the characteristic was there. So the language changes over time, which is from a, you know, sort of writer linguistic point of view, really interesting.
Yeah.
But you know, it's minerality didn't exist, but people always said that, you know, Puy Fumé had a kind of struck flinty note. Well, if flinty is not mineral, what is it? Yeah. But you know,
so they described it, and now we have better words to actually,
or a better, attribute. I don't know, different, you know, I hesitate to say better because I don't think there's an arc of continuous improvement in describing wines. There was someone, and I can't remember who did a graduate thesis on linguistics about wine language and how things shift. You know, for a long time, wines were described in kind of class terms. It was, elegant, or it had good breeding and all this kind of thing. And then, you know, the U.S. came into it. We like to sort of do a kind of verbal taxonomy of flavors. So it's like, it tastes like, you know, beach plums and wild strawberries with a hint of damson plum and a little bit of asphalt. And that's fine, but that's also weird, you know.
I've never tasted asphalt to know if I'm getting that specifically in a wine. So that would be a, you know.
Yeah, describing flavor is weird. It's a nonverbal thing that you're putting in.
I've always struggled with, but I think about when I describe wines, I can only describe the taste that I'm familiar with.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Period, right? Yeah, and I always tell people that I'm like, you know, if you don't ever eat pomegranate, it's going to be really hard for you to pull pomegranate flavor out of a wine because what does it taste like?
Yeah, but it's so. And so classically, this is one of the biggest examples of that. People describe New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc as tasting like gooseberries. Mm-hmm. Okay. Almost no one in the U.S. eats gooseberries. Yeah. Do you see gooseberries in the store? No, you do not.
I don't think I've ever had one.
So maybe once in your life.
Yeah.
You know? And so this common descriptor of New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc means absolutely nothing to most of the people in the U.S. who are buying the wine. And yet people keep using it.
Yes.
And
well, in the U.S., we just call it New Zealand style.
Yeah. Well, New Zealand style. That people understand.
Right?
So it's weird, you know.
It is interesting.
Kind of entertaining.
Yeah. I know some of my favorite classes in MBA school, I had the opportunity to take a couple of mythology classes. Mm-hmm. And I loved always thinking about just the certain arcs of stories and like the origin story.
Yeah.
And even if you're not, I've thought about that a lot from a marketing perspective. You think about a brand, like wherever you enter it, you should still know what the history is so you can pull nuggets of that history through the storyline.
People respond to stories we humans like stories, and it's sort of brand making 101 is have some kind of story for your brand, it's real or not, you know.
And wine is so rich.
Wine's very rich.
The story of the place, the story of the people, the story of the process,
reason I love it is I have been writing about it for a long time, and I haven't come to the point where I run out of possible stories.
I like that. All right. Well, we are going to take our first quick break and then come back and continue talking.
Great.
Ray Isle, our guest from Food & Wine Magazine. The Good Stuff Show, yes, in Sonoma County, but we are officially part of the Healdsburg Wine and Food Experience this weekend, and I'm here with guest executive wine editor from Food & Wine Magazine, Ray Isle.
I am psyched to be here. I love the event. It's like, I mean, Food & Wine's also involved in the event.
Yes, so, Food & Wine's our official media partner.
Reasons for me to be here, but it is a great event. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah, so talk a little bit. I mean, we were just talking about this. We met back in 2013.
We met at 13 at an event.
At an event. At the Pebble Beach.
Yeah, Pebble Beach.
No, we can say it. Pebble Beach. Yeah. But I do laugh because our origin story was, which I was like that you were sitting kind of entertaining sponsors at a table, and I happened to be your guest, seated next, and it was really fun. It was the chef's last dinner. Am I going to get this right? What would they make and drink as part of like their last meal? If they had
it was tied to a book by Melanie Dene, I think, photographer, which was about chefs and their last meals and with portraits of chefs. And so there was a dinner tied to this. It was actually a really cool dinner, but the table I was at was pretty boring. And then we happened to be sitting next to each other, rapidly realized we were supposed to be talking to each other.
And that was a
lot of fun.
And turned out the dinner was really fun. I was sort of like, oh boy, they stuck me next to the,
next to the weird wine editor.
Because journalists are so fun.
We are known to be super fun.
As I learned quickly. So I appreciate it. I mean, I have learned a lot from you. It's been great having you in Sonoma County. It's been great being able to connect with you in New York. I mean, talk to me a little bit and our listeners. Just, you have the opportunity to travel around the world, but I mean, what stands out for you about Sonoma County, and how do you think we're different or the same as other regions?
It's like the classic, Tolstoy thing, all happy families are alike and every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. All wine regions are somewhat alike, but they're all distinct in their own way too. All of them have vines and they have people make wine from grapes. But, there are a lot of things I love about Sonoma. I love it's got tremendous variety. A lot of wine regions are very specific to a certain climate or a certain soil type or certain grape varieties, particularly if you get into Europe where there's historical reasons for certain grape varieties. And Sonoma has this, one, it's big. Two, it's vastly varied in terms of both climate as you head from south to north and west to east. I mean, as you guys like to say, there is more soil types than there are in France, which is, I've yet to hear a French person agree with this, but I believe you.
I've never heard a French person disagree with it either.
Yeah, maybe no one's ever said that. Maybe you need to find a French person and tell them that and see what they
say. See what they say.
And they'll be like, I do not think so. But
and then I'll say, prove it.
Yeah. And you have the means to prove it. But it's, what I like is this balance in Sonoma that you get between it is still a true farming place, not just for grapes, but mostly for grapes. And yet it's got places like Healdsburg, which feel, there's a fancy tourism aspect to Healdsburg, but it's also wild. I mean, if you go out to the far Sonoma coast, and when I was out there most recently, I was kind of driving down from Pei to Hirsch, which is, there's a lot of nothing. There's a lot of just trees and the Pacific coast, which is kind of wild. And so this vast amount of undeveloped Sonoma too, which is
almost 50%,
and it's beautiful, And so I always find it, it's a fairly inexhaustible source of both stories and also pleasure at being here.
Yeah, that's going to be our new tagline, Sonoma County, inexhaustible.
Inexhaustible, the inexhaustible.
I actually think that might be one of the best ways to describe it.
Yes, I will send you my bill for marketing.
Okay, there you go.
but it's it's pretty cool that way. It's an easy region to navigate for me because obviously it's English speaking primarily. And if it's Spanish, I can get by. Yeah. It's not like when I went to Georgia, country of, you need a translator unless you speak Georgian.
And you can't actually even read the signs.
You cannot read the signs. Yeah.
The alphabet does not translate.
Or whatever. Yeah. And so, that's one of those where you're like, I don't know, left, right. I'll see what happens.
That's how I felt when I was in Serbia. Yeah. I don't really know where to go.
I love that. But there's a pleasure to navigation without stress too. If I weren't a New Yorker and I had somewhere I was going to move to, this would certainly be in the running. So it would be, I would think it would be awfully nice to live here.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
I came out here thinking it might be a kind of a pass through. And
yeah, you were thinking might be here a couple of years.
Yeah, and that was like 20 years.
I think you're staying. Yeah, you're kind of married.
I'm very rooted here now, as we like
to
say.
Yeah.
I'm very much here. No, and I agree. I think it's what I always love is that you can literally have this incredible chef-driven restaurant, and then you look in front and there's like 10 pickup trucks parked. you're like, okay, well, there's a bunch of, you know, we're at the intersection of sort of rural and also like world class and food and obviously wine, but arts and music. And I think wine brings a lot of culture at an intersection, mm-hmm. inevitably, but then you have all of this just beautiful landscape and farms and rolling hills.
And you have complexity attendant on that too, which is you have, you know, you certainly have, you know, questions of development or non-development. Mm-hmm. You have questions of like, or, you know, how green are you going to be? You know,
it's a tension as you, you know, grow. As
yeah, kind you of have, a, you know, you have very different communities in different parts of the county. And, you know, and you've got vast wealth and you've got, you know, non-wealth. Yeah. And from a writing point of view, that's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. And from a societal point of view, that's good to have, you know, that diversity, and not in the diversity in the sort of like, you know, way it's been bandied around as a you know, politically charged term, but a true diversity of people, of character, of place, of businesses, of, you know, that's, it's exciting.
Yeah. And so many too. I think there's also the mix of what I would say the newcomers. I would consider myself a newcomer at 20 years in versus sixth, seventh generation.
Yeah. Some of the growers we were talking to today who've been here, you know, this sixth, seventh, or longer.
Yeah, 100 plus years.
How many 100 plus year families growing grapes are there?
So in our Century Club, which honors families growing something, currently grapes for 100 plus years, we have currently 33 families. We know of another 5 we're inducting in 2026. And then for sure, the Pedroncellis and San Giacomos next year will be celebrating their 100 year anniversary.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll be at 40.
Yeah, which is kind of wild.
I've actually heard Virginie Boone said on our show, and so maybe I'll back check this with her and we can close out with that when we're back in studio, that she thinks we have more Century Club farmers than practically, certainly anywhere else in the U.S.
Probably in the U.S. I mean, it might be tough when you get into places like, you know, I don't know, parts of Italy where I think
But in California and in the U.S., like certainly Sonoma County really holds true for that farming culture.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, like I've been in Washington, Walla Walla a lot for wine. There are farming families who've been there a very long time, mostly doing wheat, and then some switched to grapes or part of, you know, it's so different scale. You know, I was talking with one guy up there who was a wheat farmer, and I said, well, how many acres do you farm? And he was like, oh man, I'm tiny. 10,000 acres. Yeah. And you're like, that's tiny. But what it means is you also don't have as many families because it's, you know, you're talking about much, much bigger farming areas. Maybe Sonoma, it's an interesting stat.
It's going to be another one. Prove it wrong.
Yeah. When you find it, let me know. I'd be very curious.
I know. It is an interesting stat. Yeah. Well, let's move in a little bit and then we're going to have to take a quick break, but, want to just talk about kind of why you're here for Healdsburg wine and food experience, and also some of the history. So you've come out here, you've done now 3 seasons, the third one we haven't released yet, of our Backroads and Backstory videos.
Yeah, I have. And I love doing them. They're a blast. Yeah. I mean, it is literally Backroads and Backstories. It's like driving around, you know, it's the stuff I would do anyway. It's fun to film it, but it's again, getting into people's actual stories and who they are, how long they've been here, what has been difficult, what has been great, you know, what they farm. And so shooting that on videos, I'm a ham. I like being on camera, but it is literally what I do for my job all the time.
Which is what I think I was gonna say. What I appreciate about it is I read your stories, so it's fun to see it actually in video form and the interaction with the backdrop of someone kind of in their home, their place of home, they're very natural.
Yeah.
So, all right, hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back for our next segment with Rayo from Food & Wine Magazine. Okay, we're here on the road in Sonoma County, but out of studio with Ray Isle, the executive wine editor from Food & Wine Magazine and guest and partner for this week's Healdsburg Wine & Food Experience.
That's right, yep.
We were just talking about Backroads and Backstories, which is one of the ways that we've worked with you, Sonoma County wine growers, me personally, over the past decade plus. You've also been able to help us with our, what I call Psalm Camp, Psalm immersion programs a number of times.
Yeah, which is a blast. I mean, I have so many friends who work in the restaurant business and wine. I've never worked in restaurants because I honestly find the prospect terrifying because it seems so stressful.
That's not true. You went undercover once.
I've been undercover in restaurants. Succeed pretending to be a sommelier and I didn't spill wine on anybody, which is good, which would be normally what would happen for me working as a sommelier.
Absolutely, for sure for me.
But it's, you know, they're at a time right now when wine is a little bit under fire. One, you know, there's a sort of neo-prohibitionist movement that stems from the World Health Organization down. That's going on. There's challenges from competing intoxicating substances like, you know, cannabis or whatever. I mean, I always feel that the thing about wine is that, yes, it's got alcohol, it's an intoxicant, but it is also something that drives social interaction. I mean, there's a reason wine is in a 750 milliliter bottle. It's because you share that with someone. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not designed to drink on your own. You know, wine is, you know, the best antidote to people sitting around a table with phones in their hands at a restaurant, not talking to each other.
Right.
And so given that there's all these challenges for wine right now, the sommelier community is one of the great, you know, ambassadors as a group around the country of what some of the joys of wine are. And so when you get a group of them here and get to drive around with them, and I, you know, moderate the seminars for the Psalm Camp, it's just fun. And they also, like, they get into it. They all bond with each other. They have a great time.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's always interesting that, you know, there's some people who've been to Sonoma three or four times, and there's always a chunk of people who haven't been and come here. And I don't know, it's a very, you know, heartening experience. And I think this year, you know, you have this particular iteration. It's not just Psalms from the US, but you've got some Psalms and wine directors from Canada and Mexico, you know, which is great right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know,
it's good to bridge.
I build bridges, you know, there's a lot of bridge burning going on. let's do the opposite and build as many bridges as possible. And wine is a great bridge builder.
Yeah. I want you to say, so we do these Psalm programs where at least in advance of the Healdsburg Wine and Food Experience, this sort of 2.5 day event, 3 day event, weekend event for consumers, we bring in 18 to 20 Psalms. And so they do seminars, they go out. Currently we're recording this and
they're out on trucks.
They're out.
Yeah,
they left our vineyards. Yeah, I'll say they left the office here and went out with some of our growers and winemakers. They're currently all over the country and then county. The country of Sonoma.
I know you think of it as country.
The county of Sonoma. And then we're gonna convene with them for lunch. And then super fun tonight, for the first time ever, we're going to do a Psalm Showdown dinner at Dry Creek Kitchen.
Yeah, where they will be competing amongst each other to create the best pairing.
Best pairing.
And I get to be a judge.
Yes.
Very excited.
Yeah, with our own Varshini and Boone.
Also, there's all the people who are attending the dinner just because they want to have an amazing dinner or get to vote too. So.
Well, I think that's what's so fun is that it's so much fun to share wine. Like you just said, wine's in this 750 milliliter bottle because it's meant to be shared. So to have consumers and then, you know, around the table, amazing chefs tonight. Obviously, Charlie Palmer sort of started Dry Creek Kitchen.
Right.
And he's going to be one of the chefs. We have Chef Shane from Dry Creek Kitchen, another one of our chefs tonight. And then having the Psalms that have been here, and now we put them to work.
It's fun work.
It's fun work. Put them to work and enjoy that. And then tomorrow, because we're recording here on Friday, so this will now be way in past tense, but then it'll be the grand tasting and more exciting.
Grand tasting, lots of people, lots of wine.
Lots of wine.
You know, it's a really cool, you know, there's a concert tonight at Rodney Strong, which is going to be, I'm going to miss because of the dinner, but a lot of people are going to go.
You know, such a great event.
My friend Hannah Ellis, who's a country singer from Nashville, will be there. She's got a spectacular voice. I'm sad to miss it. It's a cool event. That's
it is really cool.
It's really fun. Wine is fun.
Well, tell me, because we have about a minute left of this segment. Quickly, 45 seconds of what do you think are some fun hot trends right now?
Fun hot trends. I mean, in wine or in the world in general?
In wine. We'll stick with wine.
You know, I think right now there's a lot of alternative variety stuff going on. There's a lot of, I mean, we did a little tasting with the Psalms. You know, who knew that someone was growing Biancalella, which is a variety that is obscure in Italy, in Sonoma, you know.
And it's actually delicious.
And it's delicious, yeah. So, you know, that's Orsi, I think.
Yeah, thank you, Mark Orsi.
But I think the I think trend-wise, there's much more openness and interest actually in kind of branching out and trying mm-hmm. new things like that. I still, there is this ongoing trend of people pulling back. Chilled red wines is a huge yeah. trend. They want lighter wines. They want wines they can, like red wines you can chill down. Yeah. Crisp whites, that's a big thing that's going on in consumer tastes. And wine travel, you know, that's just growing. That's a bright spot in the wine world right now.
Well, I think those are excellent trends because I think Sonoma County can deliver on all of those.
Yes, I suppose it can.
Completely. It's, so thank you for that. Basically, I feel like we're just going to now use that as inexhaustible and inexhaustible.
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 The inexhaustible Sonoma County.
There you go. Well, you heard it here. Wait, thank you for being in Sonoma County. Thanks for all your support. Thanks for doing the show with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me back. That's great.
We are wrapping things up on today's good stuff, and
it was good stuff. Recorded on the road, our second not in studio good stuff.
I know.
It's kind of fun.
Where will it take us next?
I know. Do you know what's great about sort of the show and kind of the format we've set up is that we get to do those interviews even when we can't get into the studio to record them. So, because Jeff wouldn't let us here. Last week.
Let you hear.
I know. Our producer said no.
Oh, boy.
Oh, here we go.
I would let you guys. It's a lot easier for me to do my job when you guys are in studio, all right? There was just scheduling conflicts. So apologies.
I had that, too. So,
it was all good.
It's all good.
I was happy to do the interview with Ray, and great. Always great to catch up with him and fun to, the Psalms just love kind of hanging out with him, and he does a really great job sort of navigating Sonoma County
and hurting
and engaging with our growers and telling the stories of our wine region. So super fun. And like we were starting in the intro, the really fun Psalm Showdown dinner. So I think we should maybe honor our Tuesday night wine with some picks from
I'm happy to. I mean, so yeah, I don't know if we made that clear at the beginning, but all the 33 wines were from Sonoma County, and they picked a wide range.
It's
again, it sort of showed the diversity. I mean, there were sparkling rosés, there were traditional sparklers.
Do you know what? In fact, I've got the list. Do you want me to quick run through? So first course, we had Trioni Rosé, we had Paul Hobbs Chardonnay, Copan Daybreak White Blend, and the Emeritus Hallberg Brut Sparkling. Course two, we did the Calling Charles Heinz Vineyard Chardonnay, the Small Vines TBH Vineyard Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir, the Iron Horse, always love Iron Horse, Year of the Horse, and the Dunham Estate Carneros Pinot Noir. And then the third course, which was everyone's favorite pairing. We went right into the Knightsbridge Winery, Knightsbridge Cabernet Sauvignon, the Martinelli Jackass Vineyard Zinfandel, the Ramey Rogers Creek Syrah, and the Saras Ranch Catherine Blend, Melbeck, and rounded it out for what was a savory, not sweet, dessert course. Amista Vineyards Estate Sparkling Grenache, Keller Estate El Coro Pinot Noir, the Brie Color Vineyards Rosé of Grenache, and the Talisman Dutton Ranch Pinot Blanc. So there you go.
All right. Well, my wine of the night, my Tuesday night wine, I hope, some version of, was the the Ramey Rogers Vineyard Syrah, which... actually kind of a library selection, 2014. So I'd take any vintage of that.
For sure.
It was spectacular with the pairing, which was a Flannery steak. So there we have it.
That Syrah is always delicious, the Rogers
Incredible.
Creek from Ramey. Yep. Well, I'm going to do a shout to the another one of the pairings for that third course, which I think was probably the best pairing course overall, which is the Saras Ranch Melbeck, which was really, really nice as well. And actually, both those wines, I think, were picked by the same team, which...
They won.
It was the red team, not the blue team. The red team won overall, but it was a mix of our friends from Canada, Mexico, and the U.S., so there was no real smackdown. It was more of a collaborative showdown.
Everybody did a great job. The wines showed incredibly well. The food was, of course, amazing. And do it again.
And huge shout out to Dry Creek Kitchen, Chef Charlie Palmer, Chef Shane McAnally, and obviously you and Evan and Ray are judges. Such a fun event, and the whole Healdsburg Wine and Food Experience was just awesome this year.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.